A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools and the thirsty ground springs of water. The word of the Lord.
Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord, my soul. The God of Jacob keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed. Gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free. Praise the Lord, my soul. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who were bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers. Praise the Lord, my soul. The fatherless and the widow the Lord sustains, but the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, through all generations. Alleluia. Praise the Lord, my soul.
A reading from the letter of St. James. My brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if a man with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and a poor person in shabby clothes also comes in, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here, please, while you say to the poor one, stand there or sit at my feet. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil designs? Listen, my brothers and sisters. Did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened. His speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, he has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. the gospel of the Lord. Good evening, everyone. Happy feast day. Now, my friends, in our researching of St. Nicholas of Tolentino, we found out many things. I don't know that he likes sunflowers, but Father Mark does. And I happen to be the pastor. But this is part of our celebration for our patron, St. Nicholas of Tolentino. The first reading from the prophet Isaiah tells of a vision of a time, if you will, in which the eyes of the blind would be open, those who are deaf would hear, and the tongues of those who spoke with impediment would sing. The vision he put forth to the people of his time were done so to bolster the hope of the people, the hope that they would return to Jerusalem and that they would have the restoration of their nation because they were a wandering people at that point. And the prophet compares the elation of their exiles themselves to that of the experience of, meaning when they return home, would be like a blind person who can see for the first time, or a deaf person who will hear sound for the first time, or for someone who could not speak but would be able to speak and be able to tell the person they love, I love you. Can you imagine the joy? So this is what Isaiah is comparing. This is the type of joy you will have. Of course, centuries later, Jews believe similar signs would signal the coming of the Messiah. This is important. This is how they understood they would know the Messiah. St. Mark knows this, and he cleverly uses this Old Testament understanding, and he appoints it to Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, look, there's the curing of the deaf man, and he spoke strange, and now he speaks plainly. And of course, we understand a person who's deaf, their speech is off because they can't hear what they're saying. So that part's not strange, but that it would be immediate, that's what's astonishing. See, Mark does this so we, the people who are reading and the people he wrote for the time, would understand not only is this the fulfillment of Isaiah, but it is the sign of the Messianic times. It is the Messiah is present to you. Throughout this gospel, St. Mark likewise continues to show that what Isaiah foretold and dreamed of, Jesus was doing. You need to understand that because the people that Mark is writing for understood this. In the passage heard today, Jesus restores the man's hearing and speech. And before this event, Jesus has cured the paralytic in Capernaum. And there he tells the man, get up and go home. The man picks up his mat and off he goes. See ya! He's going home. He's going to his family. Later, that was Mark 2, 1 through 12. Later on in the gospel chapter, Jesus restores a blind beggar's sight in Bethsaida, Mark 8, 22 through 26. Each miracle provided evidence that the kingdom of God was breaking forth within them. Remember, Jesus, the kingdom of God is at hand. What Isaiah could only dream of, Jesus was bringing to fulfillment for them. The people said of Jesus, he has done all things well. Ah, that is a saying that comes from the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis 1:31. Let's get out our Bible. Let's make sure Father Mark knows exactly what he's talking about. 1:31. God looked at all he had done and found that it was very good. You see what's being said? That's not just some random statement thrown out there. The people were echoing a sentiment from the very first book of the Torah, or for us, the Bible. And it's in regard to what God has done, what he has been doing, his good works. God created the world and in the heavens, and he found that it was very good. God did everything well. The gospel story today, we are told the people were astonished at the healing that Jesus has done. And there are a few reasons why they were astonished. And although the understanding of the prophecy by Isaiah should have been the top reason, it is not. Something else is going on. The first reason is that Jesus did this miracle in Gentile territory. Now, you and I think, oh, what's the big deal? That was a big deal, huge deal back then. We are told in the scriptures that he is in the district of the Decapolis, that is Phoenician territory, it is pagan territory. Jesus is healing there, and the person's not of the Jewish faith. Jesus, in doing this, dispels the distinction between Jews and Gentiles regarding God's love, regarding God's blessings. This is huge for the time. Remember last week? Last week, Jesus talks about clean and unclean foods. Now, we went into a great deal, but you know what? Who can eat the unclean food? The Gentiles. Who has to eat the clean food? The Jews. So once again, Jesus is dispelling another silly thought between the Jews and the Gentiles. What does it tell us? It tells us that grace is available to the Gentile as it is to the Jew, whether you are in Jewish territory or in pagan territory. The second reason the people said he has done all things well, this is another Old Testament allusion, which I just spoke about from Genesis. And thus, that means that Jesus is undoing the sinfulness that was soiling God's work of creation. He was coming to right things. Remember, often illness was thought to be a sign of sin. I know we understand differently, but in Jesus' time, they did not. So the people said of Jesus what Genesis was saying of God. He has done all things well. The third reason. A deaf mute was a person considered to be severely afflicted in Jesus' time. There was no one to teach him sign language. There was no one to teach him how to read Braille. There was none of that stuff. The person was isolated. Such a person could not hear the word of God, nor could give praise to God in the midst of the assembly. So you see, they were deeply afflicted, not only in the physical sense, in the emotional sense, but also in the spiritual sense. Jesus' healing allows the man to function on all levels now. He can be giving God praise. He can hear the word of God. He can go back to his family. He is accepted in society. I mean, what Jesus is doing is just incredible. Now, some people are intimating that the messianic age has arrived in the person of Jesus. Some of them are getting it. However, we are told that Jesus takes the man away from the crowd to cure him because the crowd at large does not have faith. If you're wondering why Jesus, come here. Let's go over here. These people are unbelieving people. They're going to ruin your day. I'm taking some liberties with the scriptures, but you know what's happening, huh? And in the absence of faith, Jesus often found it difficult to work cures and miracles. Mark chapter 6:5-6. Let's take a look and see what is that? A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin. Native in here means Nazareth. Who was born in Nazareth? Jesus. A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and his own house. So he, meaning Jesus, was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by the laying of his hands upon them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. According to Mark, there's a scripture note, Jesus' power could not take effect because of a person's lack of faith. Finally, in St. Mark's Gospel, those healed by Jesus remain behind in the area that they are cured so that they may bear witness to Jesus and his teachings about God the Father. As always, my friends, these gospel accounts are recorded not just for the purpose of good storytelling, and they are, but that we may become confident in the Holy One of God, the one that God sent, the Anointed One, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. The accounts are recorded not only to tell the story of Jesus, but to strengthen our faith and to elicit a response to them. Each of the evangelists wants you to respond one way or another. So as your pastor, may your response this day be a commitment to do all things well. That's kind of clever. That part is kind of clever. I'm not very clever always, but the part's kind of clever. That you do well in your faith life, that you do well with your family life, that you do well with your social life, that you do well in your business life, that you do well in all things, giving God glory in all things. Be attentive to the word of God in your lives and be ready to proclaim it to others in all you say and do. Amen. My friends, as we celebrate St. Nicholas of Tolentino, who was first and foremost a disciple of Jesus Christ, he was a pastor. He prayed particularly for holy souls in purgatory. This was one of his ministries. He was very, very, very ill. And as the story tells us, he was very ill. And in Father Mark's head, I see the humor in this, but Our Lady appears to him. He's in bed, dying. She says, get up out of bed, go over to the nightstand over the other end of the room. There's a crusty old bread there, eat it. You know, I'm thinking, okay, all right. I crawl him, dragging himself down out of the bed and going over there. But he does it because he believes in the Mother of Jesus Christ and her intercession. He eats it, he's healed. Every time he went as a priest and pastor to anoint somebody, he took crusty bread, dipped it in water, and put it in their mouth. And we're not told who was healed and who wasn't. The point is faith. And the witness that he gave.